This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. WILL thanks Jack and Marjorie Richmond for their gift of the Richmond Journalism Teaching Studio adjacent to Campbell Hall for public telecommunication. In sports this afternoon, Rafael Nadal looked hampered by his injured knees during a 6-4, 6-4, 6-3 loss to Leighton Hewitt in an exhibition today. He will decide tomorrow if he can defend his Wimbledon title. Nadal played without tape on his knees but frequently appeared a step slow in the grass court match in London today. It was his first match since his loss in the fourth round of the French Open. Heavy rains have forced suspension of play for the day at the U.S. Open. Play was halted for a time this morning as the already waterlogged ground was further drenched. Portions of the course were underwater and streams were running down some fairways. The rain didn't let up and officials called it a day shortly before 2 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon. The Chicago Cubs are seeking a win this afternoon to split the crosstown series with the White Sox. Rain has shortened the series to 2 games, and the forecast is wet again today. The White Sox won yesterday's game 4-1. In the bottom of the fifth, the game is knotted with no one scoring as of yet in the bottom of the fifth. The score there, 0-0. And St. Louis is chasing a 3-game sweep at home tonight against Detroit. Cardinals right-hander Joel Piñeiro will try to snap a 4-game losing streak. That's a look at sports.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
3 years ago, NPR reported on a woman who, at the age of 101, was the caregiver for her bedridden sister and disabled brother.
My name is Clarice, but they call me Classy.
Clarice Morant has died at the age of 104. NPR's Joseph Shapiro has this appreciation.
Clarice Morant made promises, and she kept them, like the promise she made to keep her brother and sister out of a nursing home.
I made a promise to the Lord. If he give me the health, the strength, the life, to do for them, take care of them, keep them from going in a home, I would do it.
So she fed and bathed her brother and sister. She was a tiny woman, but she lifted, pulled, and dressed them in the brick row house they shared in Washington, D.C. Everett Barber is Clarice Morant's nephew.
One of the things that Classy made me promise with her is that she said, I will tell you when I'm unable to take care of you. Father, or I'm unable for him to stay here, and only then will you do something else. So that was our agreement.
When her brother died, he was 96, and Clarice Morant was 102.
She was all about providing whatever care they needed and never thought about really what her needs were and never complained about it. It was really remarkable.
Monica Thomas works with Washington Hospital's Medical House Call Program, which provided health care for Morant's brother and sister.
She had wonderfully expressive eyes that you could see the determination and will and strength in her eyes. You could, yeah.
When her sister died on the last day of last year, Clarice Morant was 104. Then, in the empty house, she started to wear down. This week, family gathered from around the country for Clarice Morant's funeral and to thank her one more time. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
A young Somali U.S. citizen disappeared from his home in Minneapolis. His name, Burhan Hassan. At age 17, he flew to Africa to join a Somali militia group named Al-Shabaab.
My sister called me and said, Burhan is missing.
That was his uncle, who has been searching for his nephew in Somalia, hoping to convince him to come home. Last week, though, he heard that his nephew had been killed in Mogadishu. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has more.
This time a year ago, Burhan Hassan was a junior at Roosevelt High School in Minneapolis. He'd been taking advanced courses and was hoping to go to medical school.
He is an extremely bright student and very nice toward his mom.
That's Hussein Samatar. He's Burhan's other uncle. We spoke to him earlier this year.
He's being the youngest of the family, and he had an awesome relationship. What sometimes just he will call, even during the school day, he will take a break and will call his mom and say, within 4 hours every time, the class is going well, and I will see you soon.
And then, out of the blue, last November, Burhan just disappeared. According to the FBI, he and six of his friends were recruited by people linked to the Somali militia Al-Shabaab. The group is thought to have ties to Al-Qaeda and is on the State Department's list of terrorist organizations. The fact that Al-Shabaab set its sights on the Twin Cities isn't surprising. Minneapolis-St. Paul is home to the largest Somali community in the U.S. Some 70,000 live in Minnesota. In the past 2 years, officials say at least two dozen of its young Somalis have disappeared and traveled to Somalia to fight. Most have not returned. The deputy director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Andrew Liebman, spoke about the missing young men earlier this year.
We do worry that there is a potential that these individuals could be indoctrinated by Al-Qaeda while they're in Somalia and then return to the United States with the intention to conduct attacks.
For months, Burhan's family had been working quietly behind the scenes to get him back to Minneapolis. A couple of weeks ago, during a cell phone call to his mother, he reluctantly agreed to leave Somalia and come home. Family members were supposed to meet him in Nairobi and take him to the U.S. Embassy.
One of those people called my sister on Friday morning and notified her that Burhan is dead.
That's Burhan's uncle, Abdi Rizak Bihi. He says he thinks his nephew was killed because he intended to leave Somalia and could identify the people who recruited him in Minneapolis and even provide information on Al-Shabaab. Bihi says that the people who attended his nephew's funeral in Mogadishu saw his body and claim Burhan died from a single gunshot to the head. Burhan is the second Somali-American from Minneapolis to die over there. The other was a suicide bomber who drove a car full of explosives into a crowd last October.
We are grateful that it's not worse.
That he didn't hurt anyone else.
Yes, we were really worried about that, that he would be used to hurt other innocent Somalis who are suffering already.
Burhan's uncle Bihi has asked the FBI to help him bring his nephew's body home. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
Here's one part of the economy that's not receding.
You've got the Samsung Saga, the Samsung Omnia, the HTC Touch Pro, the HTC.
The smartphone market is going like gangbusters.
Palm Central, the Palm Trio, the BlackBerry Storm, the BlackBerry Curve, Pearl, World Edition, and the Motorola Q9C.
Why smartphone sales are thriving today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
The International Horn Symposium is the biggest event of the year in the horn world. In years past, it's been held in places such as Beijing, Cape Town, and Valencia. This year, it took place in Macomb, Illinois. Rich Egger tells us about it.
One thing becomes immediately clear while walking through the Western Illinois University Union during the week-long event. Horn players are not shy about picking up an instrument and giving it a toot. One of the people checking out new Yamaha horns is David Amrim. He's a world-renowned artist who's experimented with the horn in different musical genres.
And one of the first things I did, I could show you this wonderful Yamaha horn, was to take the traditional French horn sound. And using the jazz idea.
Amram says he was encouraged to experiment by musicians such as jazz legends Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker.
Also, the great conductor Dimitri Mitropoulos.
He used to say to me, when he was conducting the New York Philharmonic, he would say, "How is your friend Dizzy Gillespie? In his last recording, I admired his new harmonic procedures." He was listening to Dizzy Gillespie as an important composer who composed mostly on the spot when he improvised.
Horn dealers also show up for the symposium. This is Scott Bacon.
It's the biggest event every year for horn manufacturers, for horn shops, for horn players. It's the biggest collection of artists and exhibitors every year.
It's the Woodstock for horn players?
I guess you could call it Woodstock. There are a few parties.
Bacon is with Siegfried's Call in Beacon, New York. It sells imported, handmade horns like this one. One person who makes these horns by hand is Dietmar Dirk of Germany.
When I make a bell, so I see with my eyes how it grows, how it works, and I can feel with my fingers how the material, it's hard or it's soft, or is it like I want it? And when the machine makes it, nobody knows what they make. You know what I mean? It's easier to make it with my hands, and I can see what I make.
Around 600 people attended the International Horn Symposium. They came from places as far-flung as Australia, Korea, and Sweden, Canada, Japan, and Norway. Randall Faust says the event ended up in Macomb this year because he submitted a bid to host it. Faust is a hornist and music professor at Western Illinois University. He knew Western could handle such a big event because it puts on many festivals and camps every year.
Even though, you know, in Illinois, we're not the biggest place and maybe the fanciest place in that regard, we have the services available.
The symposium included many, many performances. There were also seminars and clinics to teach techniques on the six different kinds of horns. Most look similar to what was generally known as the French horn. The exception is the Alp horn. It looks like the horn in ads for Ricola cough drops. It's 12 feet 3 inches from the mouthpiece to the bell. Lee Kessinger of East Moline says the length poses a unique challenge for musicians.
It seems so different because on the horn, when you're playing the regular double horn, you know, your sound is right by your right hip, but this is 12 feet away.
This is what Kessinger's Alp horn sounds like next to her mouthpiece. This is what it sounds like at the other end, at the bell, 12 feet, 3 inches away. The theme for the 41st Annual International Horn Symposium was a place to study, a place to play. David Amram says it's important to play music because it's important to be creative.
Because that's the whole thing, that music is a gateway for that and for people to feel good about what they do and appreciate and respect one another. This music teaches you all of that.
And for 1 week in Macomb, horn players from around the world did exactly that. Rich Egger reporting.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. It is 6 minutes before 3 o'clock. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Jason Croft. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a severe thunderstorm watch for portions of central Illinois until 4 o'clock this afternoon. A couple of counties that were in this watch earlier today have been dropped from the watch. Those counties would be Ford and Livingston, still remaining within the watch, DeWitt, Logan, and McLean counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area. Coming up this afternoon on The World, hundreds of people disappeared in the final days of the Kosovo War. Reports of kidnapping and murder and rumors of organ harvesting have gone unexamined. Victims' families say authorities don't want to investigate. Unfinished business in Kosovo. That story in the day's news coming up on The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Sunday afternoon at 5, join us for a live broadcast of Keeping the Faith. Each week, host Steve Shoemaker and his guests explore issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. This week, guest host Becca Guyette talks with the Reverend Axel Gurman about the Green Street Church, 150 years of Unitarian Universalism in Urbana. That's Keeping the Faith, Sunday afternoon at 5, here on AM 580. The weather forecast for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon: in southern Illinois, partly sunny with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Some strong to severe storms are possible. Highs ranging from 75 in northern Illinois to 97 in southern Illinois. Tonight in northern and central sections, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the south tonight, partly cloudy, lows ranging from 66 in northeastern Indiana to 77 in the far south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms, highs ranging from 83 in far northern Illinois to 96 in the south. In Champaign-Urbana this afternoon, partly to mostly cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms, the high 85, the wind from the south at 12 to 24 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low 70, the wind from the south at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with periods of showers and thunderstorms likely, especially during the afternoon. The high tomorrow, 93. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, the low 65. The outlook for Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 84. Saturday night, clear to partly cloudy, the low 63. Sunday, a mix of clouds and hazy sunshine, the high 85.
Earth and Sky.
Thursday, June 18, 2009. The planets Venus and Mars shine near the waning crescent moon in the next few mornings.
Look for them in the east before dawn. This celestial threesome, the moon, Venus, and Mars, can be seen from all over the world on Friday and Saturday mornings, except at latitudes close to the Arctic Circle and farther north.
Wake up at dawn or earlier to spot the banana-shaped lunar crescent in the east before sunrise. Then look for the blazing point of light close to the moon that beams far brighter than any star. That brilliant light is Venus, third brightest celestial body after the sun and moon.
Mars is fainter but still visible. The planet Mars is right next to Venus now. These worlds are so close together that they're only a finger width apart when holding your finger an arm's length away. Although Mars is as bright as a first magnitude star, it pales next to Venus, the brightest point of light in the heavens. Venus outshines the red planet Mars by more than